tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another program in the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are discussing a biographical sketch of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, a great wali and saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah azza wa jal, before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. Without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu
ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, as we are discussing the biography of Sultanul Hind Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, with regards to the recitation of durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is another narration which is mentioned that the Khalifa of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Khwaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki rahimahullah, one day somebody came and said to him to send this gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recognized that which gift he was talking about. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came in the dream of this person that go and tell Bakhtiyar Kaki to send the gift that he used to send before he got married.
Hmm.
So he used to send thousands of salawat in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he got married. And then when he received the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then started sending durood and salam in the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So yes, the durood that we send in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is very much recognized, and Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he appreciates the fact that we send durood upon him. Alhamdulillah, as the shair says, har dard ki dawa hai salli ala Muhammad, taweez har bala hai salli ala Muhammad. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, once again we are fortunate to have our esteemed guest Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani hafizahullah, jazakullah Sayyidi, once again. Alhamdulillah. So Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is that wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has changed the hearts of millions of people. Alhamdulillah, the most striking contribution of his is the conversion of 9 million people on his hand. Subhanallah, he was that influential personality in Islam. Alhamdulillah, you know, there are, subhanallah, manaqib that Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah has penned. 2 manqabats I know of, maybe there is more. In one manqabat he says, Ajmer bulaya mujhe Ajmer bulaya. Subhanallah, and beautiful manqabat, subhanallah. So this is his devotion to Khwaja Salahullah Ta'ala Ali. And alhamdulillah, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, his devotion, Allahu Akbar, that is on another level. Subhanallah, he would present himself in the court of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, and he would go and he deliver a sermon, subhanallah, as well. And people came flocking,
subhanallah.
And while he was traveling to Ajmer Sharif, a miracle was displayed. That it was the time of Salah and the train stopped there at the station. And he said, let's go get off the train and pray our Salah. And don't rush, because the train will not move. Offer your Salah with utmost sincerity and comfortably. The train will not move. Those were the words of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And after they prayed the Salah and everything, in the meantime, there was a commotion at the train station. A white man who was the station master,
right,
British guy, and he didn't know what was wrong with the train. He did not know what was wrong with the train, and the train wouldn't start. They tried, there was nothing technically wrong,
right,
but the train wouldn't start.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So after he gave up, somebody said to him, you know what, there's some pious Muslim people, alhamdulillah, they're offering their salah, that's why the train is not starting.
Allah.
And once they get on the train, you will see the train will start. Subhanallah. And then true to the word, when they embarked, they boarded the train again, the train started.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And this really hit home in his heart. He says, you know what, this is extraordinary miracle, subhanallah. And this was on the way, Sayyidi Ala was on the way to Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali to participate in the Urs gathering. And now, this station master is now, he is overwhelmed. He is now, he realized the truth of Islam, subhanallah, through this display of miracle of Ala Hazrat while he's on the journey to Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And then later on, he found out where the train went, where this person was going. And then he met Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali in Ajmer Sharif.
Subhanallah.
And then later on, within entire family, they converted to Islam. Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
So yes, Allah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala after that gave him advices. And subhanallah, this is the faizan of Khwaja Sahib and Allah Hazrat Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala, two great awliya of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One is the personality who has spread Islam, subhanallah, and the other who has protected the people's iman.
Subhanallah.
Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala being the one to spread the fragrance of Islam, subhanallah. 9 million people embracing Islam on his hand, and Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala at the time when there were many corrupt notions and people's imans were at risk, and at that time he came and safeguarded the iman of people, alhamdulillah. As subhanallah, so this is the great personality of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali that we are discussing here. Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Rahimahullah Ta'ala, his name is Hassan, subhanallah, and his title is Mu'inuddin. And Chishti is his nisbat to where he belonged to in the place in Central Asia. And Ajmer, subhanallah, Ajmer is the place in Rajasthan where Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali is his final resting place. And mashallah, he didn't just landed there by accident, subhanallah. And there was a great plan for him, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained him to be there. And mashallah, Khwaja Gharib Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he was born in the year 537 Hijri, corresponding to 1142, according to English calendar, and at a place in Sistan or Sijistan, present-day Iran, it is mentioned. And the blessed name of Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali is Hassan, subhanallah. And he is a Hassani and Husseini Sayyid.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Since his maternal and paternal genealogies are respectively traced from Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhumah both. And his most renowned titles are Mu'inuddin, Gharib Nawaz, Sultanul Hind, Warisun Nabi, Atai Rasul, subhanallah. These are the great titles of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. And his blessed lineage is Sayyid Mu'inuddin Hassan bin Sayyid Ghiyasuddin bin Hassan bin Sayyid Najmuddin Tahir bin Sayyid Abdul Aziz, the respected father of Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala ali. Sayyid Ghiyasuddin Hassan rahimahullah ta'ala was regarded amongst the wealthy and influential people, and he rahimahullah was exceedingly pious, and he was also endowed with miraculous powers. The honorable mother of Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala ali was also a woman of excellent character who would remain engaged in worship and devotion, subhanallah. So the family is always the family of devotion, subhanallah. When you look at the lineage of Sayyidina Ghausipak rahmatullahi ta'ala, his parents, they were ascetic, pious, and the similarity is seen here as well. Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala, his parents are also pious and ascetic and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, lost his father at the early age of 15. And he inherited an orchard and a watermill which served as his means of livelihood. He would look after the orchard and irrigate the trees himself. One day when Sayyidina Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala was watering the plants of his orchard, a pious majzoob saint, Sayyidina Ibrahim Qanduzi rahimahullah, entered the orchard, and as soon as Sayyidina Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala saw the glorious personality, he kissed his blessed hand, made him sit under the shade of the tree and presented him with a bunch of grapes, subhanAllah. And then he sat there while kneeling with respect, subhanAllah. And the saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this great saint, was delighted to see the great courtesy of this young man, subhanAllah, displaying adab. And the saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was delighted to see the respectful young man. And he took out a piece of oil cake from his bag and chewed it, and then offered the other half to Khaja Gharib Nawaz. The moment that he swallowed this piece of cake, it transformed Khaja Gharib Nawaz's inner being, and his heart now had a distaste for the love of worldly things. Thereafter, he, rahimahullah, sold his mill and his orchard and all his worldly belongings and distributed his wealth among the poor and destitute, and became a traveler in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of acquiring religious and knowledge and education. Now, and this is the beginning of his journey, subhanallah. And then later on, he lands up there in Harwan Sharif, where he seeks Islamic religious knowledge at the feet of his Piro Murshid, Khaja Usman Harwani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And subhanallah, this is the example of the greats. That one great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soon to be wali Allah, he is traveling to another, subhanallah, his Piro Murshid, who's already an accomplished saint of Islam. And he goes and he trains him, subhanallah. He started traveling at the young age of 15 years to acquire the Islamic knowledge, same as Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, early age, right? And they both are traveling in pursuit of knowledge, subhanAllah. This is one common theme, subhanAllah. And he arrived at the great center of learning in Samarkand, in the court of Sayyidina Maulana Sharfuddin, where he started to gain ilm-e-deen formally, becoming a Hafiz al-Quran, then acquiring other branches of knowledge, which led him to gain other branches of knowledge as well. The more he learned, the more thirsty he became for knowledge, subhanAllah. This is such a thing that people of knowledge, they don't become satiated. And later on, he went to other asatiza and he stayed in Samarkand and Bukhara together. These are the cities of Uzbekistan, right? I believe, Uzbekistan. And great centers of learning in Central Asia, subhanAllah, in the time previously, hundreds of years ago, before these places were attacked and they were ruined by the forces. And now, subhanAllah, at that time, Samarkand and Bukhara, they were the, mashallah, centers of learning, just like Baghdad Sharif was at one point in time. And Samarkand and Bukhara, so Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, is from there. Right, and the Samarkand, Faqih Abu Lays Samarkandi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and many other scholars, subhanAllah. Today, if you see some documentaries, you will see Samarkand and Bukhara, those institutes are still there. Those institutes, the buildings are still standing, and they are trying to revive those things, inshallah, once again, subhanAllah. So, yes, in total, he stayed for 5 years in both the cities, Samarkand and Bukhara, for acquiring the Islamic knowledge. These places were on the Silk Route, the olden Chinese Silk Route, right, that used to go from China all the way to Central Asia. Then I think it extended to some way towards the Europe. So, alhamdulillah, these cities were also popular places because they were on the Silk Route. Right. And during this duration, Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali had gained all apparent branches of knowledge, and he was still not satisfied.
Still thirsty for knowledge.
Yes, alhamdulillah. The eagerness and the deep longing, for he had left his house and family, and he was still feeling unfulfilled. Therefore, he went in search of such a perfect spiritual guide who could fulfill his yearning.
Mm.
For this purpose, he traveled to Hijaz from Bukhara, Hijaz Sharif, subhanallah, and on the way was Nishapur,
right,
which is Khurasan province in Iran. And Nishapur is another famous, subhanallah, destination where right, many ulama are from Nishapur. And when he, rahimahullah ta'ala, passed by suburban area called Harwan and heard about the Qutbul Waqt, the spiritual governor of his time, the great spiritual leader, Sayyidina Usman Harwani Chishti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was initiated into the Chishtiya Sufi order, subhanAllah. Chishtiya is his nisbat to his Sufi order by seeking allegiance on the hands of Sayyidina Usman Harwani Chishti, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Sayyidina Khaja Harimawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala spent many years under the guidance of his Murshid-e-Kamil, the spiritual master, and attained blessings and perfection of the inner self and its branches of knowledge. He would accompany his Shaykh Sayyidina Usman Harwani Chishti, carrying goods on his shoulder wherever he and the blessed Piro Murshid went to travel. And he was also privileged to offer many Hajj pilgrimage with his Piro Murshid, subhanallah. And he has stated that when my perfect spiritual guide, Sayyidina Usman Harwani rahmatullahi ta'ala, witnessed my devotion and services and great dedication to him, he, rahimahullah, blessed me with such a remarkable blessing which is beyond description. Generally, the way a student wants to be an apple of the teacher's eye, want to be his favorite, subhanallah. Similarly, a disciple wishes to be the favorite disciple of his spiritual leader. But such fortunate people are very little whose aspirations are fulfilled. Many have the desires, but very few are that who make it.
Right.
Sayyidina Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali gained popularity to such an extent in the court of his Piro Murshid that on one occasion he has stated himself that our Mu'inuddin, this is coming from Piro Murshid, our Mu'inuddin is the beloved of Allah and we are proud of our disciple.
Subhanallah.
When the peer says that, then you know. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And when Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah ta'ala, Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, when he had stated these magical words, Qadami hadihi ala raqabati kulli waliyillah, that my foot is on the necks of all the saints, then Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, in the prime time of his youth, he was worshipping at the time at a corner place of a mountain in Khurasan. And from there, he heard this statement of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali. And he lowered his neck in submission. And he said, Bal qadamaka ala ra'si wa aini, but your 2 feet, they are not only on my neck, but also on my head and on my eyes.
Subhanallah.
And the high and exalted status of Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be gauged from the fact that when he was privileged to arrive in Madinatul Munawwara, he made salam with extreme reverence in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are the words of salam that he has presented in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa khatam al-Nabiyyin. Subhanallah. And then what a response that comes. And he heard the spiritual response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The title was already given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Sayyidina Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi ta'ala was conferred with the kingdom of Indo-Pak subcontinent. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
From the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakat Mullah Ali, the founder of Dawat Islami, he has stated on page number 2 of the book Khaufnak Jadugar, the greatest and the most exalted spiritual leader, Sayyidina Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala Ali, on the occasion of arriving in Medina Munawwara with utmost respect and reverence, received a spiritual inspiration, saying, O Mu'inuddin, you are a helper of our deen. Hence, Mu'inuddin, subhanallah. You are honored, subhanallah, you are honored wilaya, authority of Hind and Indo-Pak subcontinent, and it is entrusted to you. Go to Ajmer, you will be a source of eliminating the beliefs of disbelief, and Islam will revive and be propagated through you.
Subhanallah.
And true to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that truly Islam was spread and propagated through Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi.
Subhanallah. Also, Masab, you know, from the beautiful biography and life of Sayyidina Khaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, we see that, of course, he is definitely one of the high ranking saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with all of that, you know, with the status and the maqam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, we see that if we look into his day-to-day life, if we look into the characteristics and the traits and conducts that he had within himself, it is truly, truly fascinating. Because it is mentioned in his biography that on a daily basis, he would complete two Qurans on a daily basis. Every day he would read his Salatul Fajr with the wudu of Salatul Isha. Every day. And this is truly mind-blowing. I mean, because he was so, you know, he had this istiqama. That is why, you know, they say that istiqama is above karama.
Subhanallah.
Al-istiqama to fawq al-karama. And istiqama is the biggest miracle of a saint, of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see that every day Sayyidina Khawaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, he is completing the recitation of two Qur'ans, five times daily salah, having wudu. And all of these things, if we have to look at it, we have to evaluate ourselves, that are we reciting at least one page of the Holy Quran, or at least one ruku of the Holy Quran? Are we performing five times daily salah? All of these pious saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are there to teach us and to guide us how to live our life, right? So that was one aspect from the lifestyle of Sayyidina Khawaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah. The second, it is mentioned that he had the habit of eating less. And this is so true, because we learn in Islam and we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that eating too much is a cause to so many unnecessary diseases out there. Obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, all through eating so much. And here Sayyidina Khawaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, he is teaching us to eat less. And this was his habit, that he would eat less. It's mentioned that he would eat bread soaked in water. Imagine eating bread soaked in water, and it would weigh 5 mithqals. That's approximately 2.5 tolas. This was the habit that he had, that he would eat less and not overeat. Because by overeating, a person starts to become lazy in performing salah. A person starts to become lazy in reciting the Holy Quran, lazy in doing good deeds, because of eating so much that a person can't even move anymore. They just sit there. So that is why it's important that we take lessons from the biography, from the lifestyle of the awliya Allah, specifically Sayyidina Khawaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah. Another habit of his is that his simplicity and the type of clothing that he would wear. It's mentioned that the clothing of Sayyidina Khawaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah used to be extremely simple. And it would contain only 2 mantles that had many patches, right? And furthermore, the simplicity of his stitching. This is also something really remarkable, because Sayyidina Khawaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, he would use any kind of cloth for stitches without bothering to match it.
Allah.
I mean, look at this. It's so, you know, remarkable, because we have clothes, right? And if there is even one small patch, reaction is nowadays people want to throw it away in the bin. I can't use it anymore. It's torn, it's tattered, it got dispatched, it got that there, I can't use it anymore. But here we see that Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah had so many patches, and when it came to stitch his own clothing, he wouldn't throw his clothing, he would stitch and mend his own clothing such that he wouldn't bother whether it matches the clothing or not. His simplicity, you know, it was truly, truly remarkable. And this is something for us to learn also, that in life, we must also learn to be simple. I mean, why is there the need to make things so complicated? You know, for everything we wear must be matchy-matchy. But here, Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, he is teaching us something, and that is simplicity. You know, and everything that he did, I mean, converting 9 million people into Islam, his character, his conduct, it was not to rule over people or not to control people. No, it was not for that. His intention was solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another very, very important aspect we learned from his biography is his politeness towards his neighbors. He would be, you know, kind and polite towards his neighbors. If any of his neighbors passed away, he would make sure that he joined in the janazah. He would make sure. And today, you know, if we are put into that same situation, of course, we all have neighbors. And in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are taught that our neighbors, they also have rights. If your neighbor is a Muslim, right, and he's your family member as well, there's 3 rights there. One is he's a Muslim, he's your family member, and he is your neighbor, 3 rights. The second type of neighbor is if he is a Muslim, but not your family member. Now, there are 2 rights. One is him being a Muslim, and the second right is him being a neighbor. The third type of a neighbor is one that is not a Muslim, but your neighbor. So that type is he has the right of a neighbor only. And here we see Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah teaching us to be kind and polite to our neighbors. If we see our neighbors does not have food or does not have water or is in difficulty or needs something, then our duty, the closest to them is us, because we're neighbors. Our duty is, you know what, to go and see, are you okay? What do you need? Can I get this for you? Or rather, don't even say, can I get it for you? Just go and give it to them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sure. So all of these aspects, there is so much we learn from the life of Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, that if we have to implement that in our life, we would see the society, the community, our neighborhood, our families living in so much of peace and tranquility. Why? Because first of all, we are being kind towards one another. We are respecting the rights of one another. We are not hurting each other. Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah did not hurt anyone. Whenever anyone was in need, Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah never returned them empty-handed. We also learn about his forgiveness and tolerance. And this is something that, you know, not many have these days, because it's nowadays it's easy for someone to snap, you know, for someone to not forgive. Sometimes people hold grudges that maybe an incident happened 20 years ago and people still hold on to that and can't let go of it. They can't find the strength to forgive. They can't find the strength to tolerate. But here, Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah, he is teaching us to forgive and to tolerate others as well. It's mentioned that he was very soft-hearted.
Subhanallah.
He was tolerant and he was a very thoughtful person. So it tells us that he thought about others as well. He had this quality of sympathy and empathy in him. And one important thing to note is that his anger was only for the honor and dignity of Islam. Nothing else. It was not for any personal thing. No, it was only for the honor and dignity of Islam. Even if somebody would utter any unpleasant thing, Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah would not get annoyed, frustrated or irritated by that. Rather, he would show his conduct. You know, his conduct would be such that he would not lose his patience, nor would he lose his tolerance. In exchange, he would show a lot of patience as if he did not hear anything at all. So these are some of the traits that we also need to implement in our life as well. I mean, how beautiful, if anyone wants to know that, how do I become a better person? How do I be good to others? How do I be good to my neighbors? How do I become a forgiving person? Then look at Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah. Any poor person came by him, he made sure to give him something. That is why he is called Gharib Nawaz. You know, he was there for the poor. He looked out for the poor. And that is what we need to do. If we see someone poor on the street, it doesn't mean we must turn a blind eye and look the other way. No, we must go to him. They're also a human being. They're also insan. We should go to him and tell them, how are you? How is your day today? Make them feel happy. Make them feel good. And this is what Sayyidina Khwaja Gharib Nawaz rahimahullah did, which resulted in millions and thousands of people and Muslims flocking to him, being attracted to him because of his conduct.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah. That is Khwaja Gharib Nawaz.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, masad, all these beautiful traits, the values that he had, of showing empathy to others, neighbors, his conduct with his neighbors, how considerate he was. Besides that, bestowing upon people, being a giver, subhanallah. All these traits are hereditary, if we can say. It was like within his DNA. He is Hassani and Husseini Sayyid, mashallah. And it was in his DNA, coming from the awlad of Rasulullah, yes, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah and his actions with the neighbors. And he would instruct the Sahaba ikram to be good with your neighbors. In the hadith you have just mentioned, three rights, then two rights, then at least even if somebody is not a Muslim, he still has the right of neighborhood. Yes. And neighbor is not your immediate house that is attached,
right,
but it extends to maybe 40 houses, yes, in the very
in that vicinity,
in that area, in that community where you are living, subhanAllah, the same radius, 40 houses. So all is included within the neighborhood. And the closest neighbor has the most rights, of course. And Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, and it is mentioned about her that she would worship all night, and then finally when she would raise her hands in dua, Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated this, he said that she would say, make dua for the ummah, she would make dua for the ummah, for the neighbors, and then he would ask, Mami, you worship the entire night, you're not asking anything for yourself. And she said something so remarkable. She said, Al-jar, summad-dar. First come the neighbors, then we come, then it's our turn, subhanAllah.
Look at these teachings.
Look at the teachings of Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when it comes to giving, the art of giving, that was also hereditary, yes, DNA, subhanAllah. Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, she fasted for 3 consecutive days as a vow, to fulfill the vow where once Imam Hassan and Hussein, they fell ill. And this account is mentioned in the glorious Quran. And when they fell ill, she had taken a vow that when they get better, inshallah, she will keep 3 consecutive fasts. So when she started her fast, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala fasted with her. The maid servant who was there, Sayyida Fidda radiallahu ta'ala, she also fasted there. So they fasted the whole day. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala went and bought flour for the iftar. And the flour was made, you know, dough, they then made the dough, they baked the bread. And after doing all of that, it was a time of iftar. And those were the only bread to make iftar with. There was nothing else to eat. So as soon as they started the iftar, they haven't even put the first morsel. There was a knock on the door. Somebody was in need of the food.
Allah.
They took all the bread there and gave it to this person. And they opened their fast only with water.
Allah.
Second day again somebody came, iftar time. Again they gave all the bread away and did the iftar with water. Third day again, same thing happened. Somebody came for bread. And they again open their fast with water. Subhanallah. This is the art of giving of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about his generosity? Allahu Akbar. He is the master of all the generous people. Subhanallah. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, Wah kya judo karam hai, shahe batha tera. Nahi sunta hi nahi mangne wala tera. It is actually the translation of the hadith, the statement of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would never hear the word La from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever somebody approached him and asked him for something. Subhanallah. And alhamdulillah, we have a kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzur aisa koi intizam ho jaye, as everybody begs at the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is also a plea in the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are given the call to Madina and Munawwara. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
حضور ایسا کوئی انتظام ہو جائے سلام کے
حضور آ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to this beautiful and melodious kalam. حضور ایسا کوئی انتظام ہو جائے سلام دینے کو حاضر غلام ہو جائے انشاءاللہ آمین بجاہ نبی الامین. As in the words of حضور مفتی اعظم ہند, a similar thing, خدا خیر سے لائے وہ دن بھی نوری, مدینے کی گلیاں بہارا کروں میں. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant and bring our wish to fruition. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyil Ameen. Dear viewers, we are discussing the biography of Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And as we have, alhamdulillah, covered some of his journeys, and mashallah, Maulana Sahib has highlighted his beautiful conduct and his remarkable character, subhanallah, as he was true adherent of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some great words of wisdom that was narrated by his Khalifa, Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he says, and he narrates the aqwal and the words of wisdom by Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. The first one is about salah. He says that salah is a secret. One confides to Allah Azza wa Jal, as it is stated in a blessed hadith, innal musalliya yunaji rabbahu, that the one offering salah shares a secret to his creator Allah Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah.
This is so deep and subhanallah. In one hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the salah between him and his servant. And subhanallah, this is a lengthy hadith sharif. In one portion of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi is that hadith which is narrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is not Quran, this is still hadith. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, when my bondman, he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that and he says, Hamidani Abdi, that my servant has praised me, subhanallah. And Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin, when he says, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'een. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hadha Baini wa Bain Abdi.
Subhanallah.
And this is between me and my servant, subhanallah. When this is a secret, as Khwaja Muinuddin Chishti rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that the salah is a secret in which a servant confides in Allah Azza wa Jal. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, innal musalliya yunaji rabbahu, the one offering salah shares a secret to his creator Allah Azza wa Jal. And then when the banda says, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghairi al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dhalin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have given to my servant what he is asking for.
Subhanallah.
So this is how a person pours his heart out to Allah Azza wa Jal in salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds back.
Subhanallah. You know, in the hadith also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that salah is the coolness to my eyes. And also, you know, salah is a believer, a Muslim having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how beautiful are these statements of Sayyidina Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahimahullah. Look at his thought behind salah, where he thought of salah. Salah is a secret in which one confides in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a beautiful thought. And if we look on the opposite, if we look at the reality today of what some people think salah to be, some people think salah to be a burden. Look at the two opposite thought processes. On one hand, we have a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is telling us salah is a secret. And on the other hand, we have others who say that no, salah is a burden, I don't have time for salah, I don't know, make so much of excuses. Whereas salah in reality is no burden at all. Salah is actually us gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This statement is actually detrimental to one's iman if somebody has to make that statement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from saying such, even uttering, even bringing to our thoughts such words and such type of thoughts.
Definitely. Exactly. And you know, if a person has to hit rock bottom, right, in their life, rock bottom they hit, Who are they going to turn to? Where are they going to go? There is no one else out there that can help them. The only help you're going to get is in your salah. And that is you turning back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this statement, this beautiful statement of Sayyidina Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahimahullah, it is so beautiful and so profound, because we at the same time we have to take it seriously, because on the day of Qiyamah, the first question that will be asked will be about Salah. And you know, if that is correct, if that is in order, then everything else will be fine. If that is not in order, is not correct, then everything else after that wouldn't be fine. So we need to, you know, perform our five times daily salah, not just performing it by going up and down, no, but by performing it with sincerity, having this, you know, this yaqeen in you, this conviction in you, that I am presenting myself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making myself think as per the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that perform salah as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how we must perform our salah, not just going Allahu Akbar and folding our hands and up, down, and then not performing ruku properly, not performing sujood properly. So yes, even for those who are performing salah, five times daily salah, and perhaps that they are performing salah the wrong way, so they must learn and educate themselves on the proper method of performing salah, how to make ruku, how to make sujood, how to bend your toes whilst you are in sujood. All of these things are essential to learn for one salah to be valid.
Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our salah. Amin. Bijahin Nabiyil Amin. Dear viewers, Khaja Gharin was, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was himself a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all want to know and are eager to learn that, you know, what are the qualities of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And here is the description of a wali Allah given by Khaja Gharin was, who himself is a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, the friend of Allah is one who has three qualities.
Right.
Who is a friend of Allah? Who has these three qualities. Number one, generosity like the ocean. His generosity must be like the ocean. Affection like the sun. And the quality of his hospitality is like the earth.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. I mean, these wonderful qualities one needs to have in order for him to be qualify as a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, generosity like the ocean. The ocean is so generous. Yes. It takes the water everywhere, and mashallah, two-thirds of the entire planet is water. This is how generous is the generosity of the ocean. And he must be affectionate like the sun, meaning he must be merciful to people, kind to people, like the sun is. Now the sun is so kind, it's covering the entire earth. Subhanallah, one hemisphere all the times. Within 24 hours, the entire hemisphere is covered, right? And now, the quality of hospitality must be like the earth. The earth accommodates each and everyone. Subhanallah. It doesn't complain whether you live in this area or that area. Yes. It's accommodating. It's hospitable. Subhanallah. And that's how a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be. Beautiful qualities of the awliya Allah, alhamdulillah, explained and endorsed by Khaja Ghajnawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi himself. So yes, now is the time, you know the qualities of the awliya Allah. You spot a wali Allah, inshallah, azza wa jal, try and be in their company. If you ever come across one, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us through the blessings of Sayyidina Khaja Gharinawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and forgive us without accountability. For his sake, Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.